We shall turn now to the passage of Scripture which we read together, John's Gospel, chapter 14, and we'll take our text tonight, verses 13 and 14. And we're also looking at larger Catechism question 180. John's Gospel, chapter 14, at verse 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And then we're looking at larger catechism, question 180. What is it to pray in the name of Christ? To pray in the name of Christ is in obedience to his commandment and in confidence on his promises to ask mercy for his sake. Not by bare mentioning of his name, but by drawing our encouragement to pray and our boldness, strength, and hope of acceptance in prayer from Christ and his mediation. So then, tonight the question we're looking at is, what is it to pray in the name of Christ? A very important question, because prayer is very important to us as Christians. Indeed, prayer is for the Christian like breathing. We can't survive without breathing in this world, and the Christian cannot survive without prayer. It's our way of contacting God, speaking to him. He speaks to us through the Scriptures, through his word. And as we speak to him in prayer, he brings that word to bear upon our hearts. He answers us through the Bible, and he answers us by giving to us that which is for our good and his glory. So Jesus here in John chapter 14, he's in the upper room the night on which he was betrayed. So it's at the very end of Christ's life. And he's there present with the apostles, his closest disciples. And he's giving to them his final teaching before his crucifixion and death. And he says to them, whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do. And we're to notice that. Ask in my name. Ask for my sake. Ask standing on me, as it were. Drawing your check on me, says Christ. For the sake of my goodness and my righteousness and my death on the cross. So, when we pray, we are to claim the merit of Christ. We have actually no merit of our own. Some people think they do, and they think they're quite good people, and they do lots of good works, and so on. But the Bible tells us that there's none righteous, no, not one. And it tells us that our good works are as filthy rags before God. Even the very best things we do, they're just smelly cloths to God, of no value. But what is of value is, of course, Jesus. And all that Jesus did in his life in this world and his death on the cross, that's what's of infinite value. And that's what we claim when we pray in the name of Jesus. We are to look to him as our mediator. And in that way, we are glorifying the Father. So, what is said here in this verse 13, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. It's interesting that Jesus says, I will do it. Not the Father will do it, but I will do it. Because Jesus, having died on the cross and risen again the third day and ascended up to heaven, sat at the right hand of God, and he sits there as king, and he rules till his enemies are made his footstool. He is king. He reigns over the nations, and so he does all things for our good, for our benefit. So whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, asking the Father in my name, that will I do. I will do it. And I will do it so that the Father will be glorified. The Father is glorified in me. The Father's glorified in my reigning over the nations. The Father's glorified in my building my church. The Father's glorified in my answering the prayers and the petitions of my people, of those who trust in me. So whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. I will do it. So it's trusting in the merits of Christ. And we have it in verse 13 and verse 14. Ask in my name and I will do it. It's repeated for us to confirm it to us. Now, looking at this catechism together, what is it to pray in the name of Christ? To pray in the name of Christ is in obedience to his commandment to pray. Obedience to his commandment. We have to be obedient. Obedient to the command of Christ. He's the Lord. He's the Master. You don't just trust in Jesus as your Savior. You trust in him as the one who's your Master. And when you're converted, you take him as your Lord and your Master. That's what it is to be a Christian. Somebody who is obedient to Christ's command. He is the King. He is the head of the church. And he's the one who teaches us how to pray. Now, some people, they pray to false gods. In Old Testament times, they would pray to Baal, or Ashtoreth, or to Baal and Molech, to Nebo, the gods of the Babylonians and the Moabites and the Canaanites. Nowadays, people pray to Allah. People pray to Hindu gods, false gods. But we are to pray to the true God, the real God, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who made us, the one who rules over us, the one who controls everything that happens in the world, the one who's given us a savior, and the one who one day will judge us. Because when our life here comes to an end, every one of us has to come and stand before the judge, before God, before God. So we are to pray to God, and Jesus teaches us to pray to the true God. Now, some people try to pray to the true God, but they do it in their own name. And they're pleading, Lord, help me, because I try my best. I do what I can. I help poor people. I'm kind to my neighbors. And so they come with their own righteousness, their own merits, their own goodness. But that won't do. We're to come in the name of Christ and for Jesus' sake alone. Not in our own name, not trusting in ourselves, not thinking that we can go straight into God's presence and demand something from him without going through the mediator. Jesus is the mediator. As is written above me there, there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And the only way to approach God, not through the Virgin Mary, not through saints, not through angels, through Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, the way to God, the middle one, mediator between God and us. And we come through Jesus, obedient then to his command. We have to come through our priest. In a sense, every Christian is a priest. But we don't have to go to any earthly priest. But we must go to the heavenly priest. And the heavenly priest is Jesus. So we come to Jesus. We come to Jesus directly. And through Jesus, we come to God. Jesus is our advocate. He's our lawyer. He's the one who pleads our case. We trust in him and in his work. So then, we come obedient, in obedience to his command, and in confidence on his promises. Here you have a promise in this very two verses before us. There are promises. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, says Jesus to his disciples, and to you if you are his disciples, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. That's a promise. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. A great promise. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock at the door of heaven and it shall be opened unto you. That is what Christ says to us. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. There's all these promises. Whatsoever ye shall ask. In chapter 16 and verses 23 and 24, we have these words. Hitherto you have asked nothing. You, my disciples, you've asked nothing. Ask and you shall receive. Why are you so reluctant to ask, to pray? Hitherto you have asked nothing. If you shall ask anything in my name. Well, if you were to ask for £1 million, would you get it? If you were to ask God to make you Prime Minister of Britain, would he? If you were to ask that you might live till you're 200 years old, would it happen? It says here, if you ask anything, but anything that is for your good, and anything that fits in with God's plan, and God's plan is for your good as a child of God. If it was for your good to get £1 million, God could give it to you tonight. If it was for your good that you should be made Prime Minister of Britain, God could do it too. If it would be for your good that you should live for 200 years, God would give it to you. Whatever is for your good, because another promise says, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And God ensures that everything is for our best. So he doesn't just give us anything at all that we ask for. For if we ask for something that we're going to sin with, if we ask that somebody's marriage would be broken, or somebody would be hurt in some way, or if we ask for God's help to rob a bank, he's not going to do it, of course. He's only going to give us what is for our good and for his glory. And he is glorified in doing what is for your good and my good, child of God, who trust in him. So, there are certain limits on anything. And yet, it's not limits in the sense of power. Because God is almighty. And that almighty power is at our disposal. A power greater than any power in this world. Mightier than kings, mightier than prime ministers and presidents, mightier than the most powerful armies, God is almighty. And God's almighty power is answering prayer for our blessing and benefit. Whatever is best for his children, God will do it. You remember how Paul suffered with a thorn in the flesh. Some real problem. He doesn't tell us what the problem was. But he tells us that he prayed earnestly 3 times that the thorn in the flesh would be removed. And each time he got the same answer. No. Why not? Lest you should be exalted above measure. Lest you should become too proud and destroy yourself. To keep you humble, Paul, I won't give you what you're looking for, because I know it's best for you to continue to labor with this thorn. But remember this, Paul. I'll give you something else. I won't take away the thorn, but I'll tell you what I'll give you. I'll give you strength to bear with the thorn. My grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. So there's some prayers, in one sense they're not answered, but in another sense they are. In one sense you would say Paul's prayer, remove this thorn, wasn't answered. But in another sense it was answered, because God gave him patience, endurance, and strength to bear with it and to profit from it. My grace is sufficient. Remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember his agony as he prayed. He prayed there and he said, Father, all things are possible with thee. All things are possible. There's God's almighty power. With you, all things are possible. Let this cup pass from me. The cup of sufferings. The cup of Calvary. Of his crucifixion. All things are possible. Let this cup pass from me. You are almighty. You can do anything. Let this cup pass from me. But then he added, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. The cup didn't pass. But God answered his prayer. He sent him an angel to strengthen him. He gave him the grace to endure. He enabled him to go through with the sufferings and the death. And God answered him in raising him from the dead, taking him up to heaven, and seating him at God's right hand in heaven. So his prayers were answered, but not in the specific way that he asked. Because God's plans are best, and God knows what is best. And God answers our prayers in the way that is best for you and for me. So then, what is it to pray in the name of Christ? To pray in the name of Christ is in obedience to his command and in confidence on his promises. To ask mercy for his sake. The biggest thing you and I need is mercy. We deserve hell. Ever since we came into this world, we've been sinning. And God is holy, God is just, infinitely just. And we deserve hell. But we pray for mercy. Remember the publican who went up to the temple and cried, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He prayed for mercy and he got mercy and he went home justified. And when you and I pray for mercy in the name of Christ, we receive mercy. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And anyone who cries to God for help, for mercy, for salvation, for Jesus' sake, will be saved. That's an undertaking. It's a promise. And nobody will be able to stand before God on the judgment day and say, I prayed for mercy and you didn't give it to me. God gives mercy to those who pray to him for Jesus' sake. But many people, when they pray, they'll add to their prayers, for Jesus' sake, amen. And they don't really think about what it is. It's important to think of what you're saying when you pray. God hates empty words, vain repetitions. And you and I, we have a great tendency to just empty words. And we say things, we maybe say a grace at mealtime and we haven't really thought about it. And it's over and we haven't thought about it. We say a prayer for Jesus' sake and again, we're just going through the motions. So we have to constantly be correcting ourselves and bringing ourselves up short and saying to ourselves, I've got to think about what I'm doing. I've got to treat God with respect. And so when I come before him, I must speak to him with meaningful words. So we must pray in the name of Jesus. We need mercy. And mercy comes to us as we pray to God in Jesus' name. Another way of talking about praying to God in Jesus' name is faith. That's saving faith. To look to Jesus. To look to the cross of Calvary. To look to the Son of God who died, who suffered and died, suffered hell for us on the cross, and claim him. And pray to God that for his sake, for Jesus' sake, he would have mercy on us. And he will. Jesus' role is Savior. And in prayer, our prayer must always be the prayer of faith. And faith is when we meaningfully pray for Jesus' sake. By his sufferings and his death, by his perfect life, keeping all the commandments for 33 years, and then dying on the cross, a perfect man, he earned salvation for you and me. And we claim that salvation when we pray for mercy in the name of Christ. But not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. That was a warning, wasn't it? Jesus gave it at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Many shall say to me on the day of judgment, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And I shall say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. So just to use the name of Christ isn't enough. We must from our hearts mean it. We must be sincere about it. We must know Christ. Know Christ as our Christ and trust in him as our Savior. So then, praying in the name of Christ, in obedience to his commandment and in confidence on his promises, to ask for mercy for his sake, not by bare mentioning of his name, but by drawing our encouragement to pray, drawing encouragement from the name of Christ. We have a mediator. We have one who's at God's right hand, one who intercedes for us, one who is in the court of heaven, and one who has infinite merit, and he uses his merit on our behalf. He atoned for our sins. He earned heaven for us. And not only did he earn heaven for us, but he earned for us all the blessings that we get in this life that lead to heaven. He earned heaven for us, and he earned for us heaven on earth. And as Christians, we have heaven on earth. We have his blessings, his provision, his care for us. Just like the children of Israel. Remember, they didn't just get the promised land. But for 40 years in the wilderness, they got bread from heaven and living water from the rock. God provided them with a promised land in the desert. He gave them good things on their way to heaven. And so it is with us. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So drawing our encouragement to pray and our boldness, as Christians we can have boldness. Remember what happened when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. They lost all their boldness. God came into the garden, and what did they do? They ran away to hide. And ever since, man has been running away from God. But through Christ, we have boldness to draw near to God. We can come with courage, with assurance. The broken relationship has been restored. We have been reconciled to God. We're justified. All our sins are pardoned. We're accepted with God. But more than that, we're not just forgiven. We are adopted. And that's a very precious relationship. When you adopt a child, you take that child into all the privileges of the family. You're not just fostering the child. You've adopted that child. That child takes your name, takes his, her place within the family, and is accepted as a natural child. And that's what God does to us. And the broken relationship when we sinned in Adam, and our lives born in sin, shaping in iniquity, that broken relationship is now restored. Our sins are forgiven. We are children of God. And more than that, we have a friend in the court of heaven. Our elder brother is in heaven. And therefore we come in the name of Christ. And we come with boldness to a throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Because Jesus is in heaven, our priest, our advocate, our lawyer, our older brother, our husband. That's what Jesus is. We come with boldness. With boldness then, and strength. Maybe you've bought something in a shop, and after a short time it proves defective. You go back to the shop to complain about what you bought. Now, if you have a guarantee, and you've got a guarantee for a year, and the thing is broken after 6 months, then you feel you've got some right to come to the shop and complain. But then think, if the shop owner is your friend, then you can go along with the owner or the son of the owner to meet the manager of the shop, and you can do it with confidence. You've got a guarantee. And the owner's son is your good friend. And he's with you. So having Christ, what boldness that gives us, the Son of God. And having the promises of Scripture, what a guarantee we have as we come. We have strength to pray. Strength to pray and hope of acceptance in prayer. Because we're reconciled to God by Christ. Because Jesus has earned acceptance for us. And not just acceptance, but all the privileges of sonship. He's earned it for us. Therefore, we come. And the Father himself loves us. Because we're his children. The Father loves us. So the Father loves to answer our prayers. Hope of acceptance. So, boldness, strength, hope of acceptance in prayer from Christ and from his mediation. Christ and his intercession, his effective intercession for us. Think of the Pharisee who went up to the temple to pray. How different his prayer was. Remember that prayer. I thank thee, Lord, that I am not as other men are. Extortioners, unjust, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. So there was a prayer, not in the name of Jesus. There was a prayer of somebody who was trusting in himself and his own goodness. I thank thee, Lord, that I'm a lot better than other people. I thank thee for all the good works that I've done, and you've got to listen to my prayer because I'm such a good person. How wrong, how foolish. God wasn't pleased with his prayer. We are to come, we come as beggars before God. But as beggars who come in the name of Jesus, claiming the merits of Christ for Jesus' sake. Now what about people in the Old Testament? How did they pray? But they also had to pray for Jesus' sake. Looking forward to the coming one, the promised one, the Messiah. Offering their sacrifices, which reminded them of the Lamb of God who was going to die on the cross. But they came too. It wasn't so clear for them. But they too had to pray and come in the name of Jesus. And then the prayers of the unconverted. So often when they pray, they think only of their need. And they don't think of the Savior. Maybe they're desperate. They're praying for healing. They're praying for money. Praying for a job. Praying for safety and illness. Or restoration of health and strength. Whatever it might be. And they come asking for help. But they forget that they need a Savior. And they need the merit of Christ. And there's no reason why God should have pity upon any sinner. Because God is angry with sinners every day. The only way we can come is for Jesus' sake. Coming, trusting in him, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. So Christ is everything. To me to live is Christ. To die is gain. We are to seek then the help of Christ, the help of the Holy Spirit, and we are to pray in the name of Christ and pour out our hearts to God. So then, question 180. What is it to pray in the name of Christ? To pray in the name of Christ is in obedience to his command and in confidence on his promises, to ask mercy for his sake, not by bare mentioning of his name, but by drawing our encouragement to pray and our boldness, strength, and hope of acceptance in prayer from Christ and his mediation, his mediatorial work. So let's pray. Help us, O Lord, to come in the name of Christ, trusting in our great mediator and the work that he did for us on Calvary's cross, and rejoicing that we are accepted in Jesus Christ. Bless us, O Lord, each one. Bless thy word to our souls. Teach us, lead us, guide us, help us. Pardon us all our sins. Prepare a place for us in heaven, and prepare us for that place in heaven, for Jesus' sake. Amen.